My coffee is obviously cold. Catherine.
I know.
Why would that be?
Well,
All right, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
no, let me
It's
ask you,
also
James, let me ask you a
okay.
question. Like, has there ever been a day that you've known me in the time you've known me
Oh,
that I
Jesus.
wasn't in some sort of crisis or had some sort of contracting or construction going on at this house?
I'm sure there have been calm days.
Okay.
I just can't think of any.
Yeah, this wasn't one of them. So that's why your coffee's
And if
cold.
it wasn't you or something with your dogs or your parents, it was with your crazy friends.
Right.
My coffee is also not very good because my wife bought some kind of crummy oat milk. I'm trying to finish it off because I
Ooh.
always I'm the garbage can. And what's great though is it pairs really badly with the cookie that I was trying to eat.
Oh.
It's like a double whammy.
I'm not a fan of oat milk.
Didn't you like the last latte you got at the coffee shop? That was oat milk.
Yeah, it was oat milk, but I mean, there is good oat milk, but if I had my choice, which I do when I'm shopping, I always go with the almond milk, even though it's bad for the environment.
Oh, and it's
I
not
like
bad for the
almond milk.
environment. Don't shut up.
Well,
It's
they said you have to
fine.
water the almonds a lot, but
Yes, it
whatever.
takes a lot of water. You know, f living takes a lot of water.
Yeah, it does. I like the unsweetened vanilla.
You're awful. Can we start the podcast now after like 3 hours or
Go
however long
for it.
it's
I
been?
know it's just been a morning. Go ahead. Let's
Two,
start.
I guess technically it's only been 2 hours and 22 minutes
Okay.
late.
I'm sorry.
Follow-up from last week is none.
Wow.
We are perfect.
Are we?
Yeah, so maybe everyone else should try to be perfect like us and have no follow-up because we did perfectly last week.
Okay. Well, are you perfectly set for retirement, James?
Yes, in that I can find some ditch to lay down in and retire, if that's what you're talking about. I'm about on track for that.
Okay,
But
ditto.
don't worry, Social Security will always be there, regardless of what the Republicans keep trying to make us believe.
Do you believe that? Do you really believe it'll be there?
As long as they don't, I was going to use a bad word, as
Yeah.
long as they don't try to steal it,
Right.
it's been solvent for, 50 years, and it's going to be solvent for another 50 years. That's like they keep saying, like, well, in 50 years it's going to be insolvent. Well, as long as you plan ahead a little bit, it will stay solvent.
Right.
But that's the one of the great lies of the Republicans. They just want to tell you about how it's not going to be it's worked so well. Like the young generation, they don't think Social Security is going to be there for them. Guys, it's a choice. We can choose whether to have it or not. And it's not that it's running out of money. He's like, oh, the baby boomers. It's not about demographics either. It's because there's always money coming in, and you put the money in, and more money is coming in. So as long as they don't steal it from there or put it in the stock market, we'll be fine. Just freaking relax. If
Okay.
worse comes to worse, we could always spend a few trillion dollars less on defense. Take 10% of defense funding, and we could probably fund Social Security.
Okay.
But that's at 2 points. That was in the note in show notes. We'll have this TikTok. It was a 6 minute. I think it was a 6 minute TikTok in which an
That was
expert goes
good.
over why Social Security is fine. And really though, the only real threat that Social Security faces is not from baby boomers aging out or aging in, I should say.
Aging in, yeah.
It's the fact that wages are low and have been low for decades. And wages are where Social Security gets its money from because
Right.
your wages are taxed to go into Social Security. And if your wages are not high enough, if the average American wage is not high enough, it can't support Social Security. So the only way, the real way to fix Social Security is through raising wages.
And there also seems to be so much pushback for increasing the minimum wage to a livable wage. That possibly would help too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they lose their minds. Well, of course, if you raise the minimum wage, everything gets better because what happens is right now at $7.50, which is I think what the federal minimum wage is, you can't live on that.
Oh no.
So you can't buy anything.
Right.
And so the economy kind of stalls out. Can't buy an iPhone if you have $7.50.
Right.
Every place that they do this, they say the sky is going to fall. Washington did it, California did it. Everyone does this and say, oh, it's going to destroy the economy. Small businesses are going to close. Burgers at McDonald's are going to be $15. And that's all a bunch of bunk. If you're concerned about the pay imbalance or paying them too much, you could just not pay the CEO $50 million.
Yeah, see, there
Maybe
aren't right.
just pay him $500,000, and you can distribute the rest of the wealth around. And then those people goes back into the economy, actually goes into the economy, and people can start buying stuff again.
Right. There are fixes, but there's greed also, and people just don't want to, you know, cut loose of their paradigm.
The problem is it would be asking the wealthy to pay more in taxes or maybe take less in income.
Right. I think that is a key to fixing or maintaining Social Security.
And I don't know what the hell you're doing with $100 million anyway, let alone $1 billion. Really? I mean, what's the point of holding on to that much money?
I don't know.
You're just sequestering it off into nothingness. It's such a waste of resources.
It is. It is. So.
So, Catherine, I think we should liberate it. We should go take everybody's money.
As long as they don't take our money.
For the good of the country.
For the good of the country,
we're taking your money.
So you're not for privatizing it then? You wouldn't suggest that. I think that's...
It's completely counter to the entire idea of Social Security,
right,
because if you tie it to the market, so this is what the Republicans have always wanted to do. They want to take it out of the government hands,
the
money that's in Social Security. You want to take that huge amount of money, it's like, they Republicans see a whole bank of money and they want it, which is fine. I do too, but I'm okay with leaving it there. So you take it out of the government's hands, which is secure.
Right.
And you put it in the market. And why do you do that? You do that because then you have to privatize it and you have to pay someone to put it in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's their way of making money off of it. The problem with that is that defeats the idea of security because the market's not secure.
Oh, no.
You know, yeah, you would get better return if you put it in the market, but then some days you would not get any return.
Right.
Because some days the market's down, sometimes the market's up. And that's the security part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So no, guys, just look at the name of this thing, and there are plenty of places to make money. Just look elsewhere, okay?
Right. Oh, in terms of Social Security, I know there have been forces external. I remember like Paul Ryan many years ago, like talking about this, and it was like his deal, you know, to like kind of attack it from the outside. But it seems like DOGE is attacking it from the inside. Like if they can't destroy it outright, they're just going to mess with it so badly that it becomes, I don't know, just a burden for the people working there. Yeah, non-functional.
I don't know what the hell DOGE is doing because they're clearly incompetent. They have no idea what they're doing. All that's happened so far is huge data leaks everywhere they go.
Right.
Because whoever's part of DOGE is obviously has their own security compromise, because what the security analysts have seen is that once DOGE goes in and the DOGE people log into the systems, there is immediately followed by several logins from Russia.
I know. What the hell's that about?
From Russia IP addresses. So once DOGE is in there, Russia's right behind them.
Russia rushes in.
It's freaking madness. And then they cancel contracts, which is, you know, those contracts come from Congress. Those are laws that are passed by Congress. I don't know why they think they even have the right to do that. Maybe because the guy who's in charge of our police system, i.e. the president, isn't sending the police to stop people from breaking the law.
Right.
I.e. DOGE. DOGE is going to, they're all going to wind up in jail eventually. If we
you
get our country
so?
Back, all these, I was going to swear again. Oh, I don't know what word to use. I can't say people. They're not really people, are they?
I don't know. Yeah, they're people.
All these tech bros and all these Trump bros are going to wind up in jail. And I just hope to God that the next Democrat who gets in office doesn't spend 4 years putting cases together. They need to go immediately.
What? Yeah, it took too damn long this last time, didn't it?
Yeah, Trump got off. You forget that he would be in jail now if Kamala Harris had won, because all of the trials would have continued. They had to stop the trials, A, because you can't prosecute a sitting president in a lot of these cases. And then the other cases, the now head of the police force in the United States, the Justice Department, was appointed by Trump and said, no, you know, we're not doing that anymore.
Right.
And not only that, obviously, they also released a bunch of the January 6th traitors.
Right.
Grotesque. Truly grotesque.
It is grotesque. It is grotesque. I don't know. I'm not sure where that brings us to, but, you know, like a lot of the stuff I was reading this week, and I think it's like a personal deal too. It just has to do with like lies, false realities, lies, just outright lies. And so I sent you a couple articles. I was just thinking about this one, that the title of it is When a Nation Embraces a False Reality. It was published back in November of 2024. And I thought it was pretty interesting. And they start the article with a quote from Daniel Patrick Moynihan, a former New York U.S. senator. Right. He said everyone's entitled to his own opinion, but not to his own facts. That seems to be true. However, when you start talking to people who don't hold that opinion, or they're like so profoundly MAGA, they seem to make up their own stuff.
Yeah, I think I think the essence of that article was getting at the fact that reality still exists, mm-hmm. and you avoid it at your own risk.
Mm-hmm. Where factual truth is really, you know, it's distinct from bias or ideology or, you know, your personal beliefs. And it seems so commingled when these people in my life have like shouted at me in the privacy of my own home sometimes about their breakdown of the facts. And it's not irrefutable. So it's not factual truth. Yet they just keep talking louder. It doesn't matter what you say.
That's exactly the problem, is that you can't reason with them because they have taken an unreasonable position. It has become dogma mm-hmm. for them. And dogma is not based on facts. Dogma is based on your personal preferences. It's exactly. something you've decided to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't argue the dogma. So don't bother, which brings us into mm-hmm. Dan McClellan's piece, Overcoming Dogma.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
He says this one weird trick, he says that, you know, mockingly, because, you know, he's not a scamster. Oh, by the way, yes, if you ever see someone say this one weird trick will fix your diabetes or whatever, that is snake oil salesman 101.
Clickbait. Okay.
Except when Dan is there. Dan has no snake oil. What is snake oil? Do we squeeze snakes and get the oil out of it? And what do you do with it? Does you like rub it on your arthritis?
I don't
know.
Every time someone says snake oil, I just think of like old Broadway musicals like The Music Man or Oklahoma, I think. Didn't they have a snake oil salesman in Oklahoma?
I don't know, but that's not helpful because this podcast is not about musicals.
Oh, okay.
Oh, unless you want to talk about Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz.
Which I don't think you appreciated fully.
I watched it again. Let's devote a podcast to Wicked, breaking it down.
Okay. Not this one, though.
Not this one. That's what I think. I think there was like in one scene, I was a drama nerd, I guess, drama kid. And like I always played piano for like all the auditions and stuff for the dramas. And we did Oklahoma. And I think there was a scene where there's a snake oil salesman. But I don't know what snake oil is. I just remember the set.
Well,
anyway,
you know, that's the trope, though. It's nothing. It just sounds mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, getting back to McClellan.
Yeah, well, he sets up dogma. If you're arguing somebody about their dogma,
mm-hmm.
the essential problem is that as long as whatever they're arguing is conceivably possible or not impossible, mm-hmm. you cannot win that argument.
Exactly. It's just that thread. And that's also that.
It's like, is it possible that that Maryland guy who got sent to El Salvador, is it possible that he's part of a gang? Is it possible that he runs the gang? Well, I guess it's conceivably possible, even mm-hmm. though it's not factually correct.
Right.
So then you have to concede, and then they think you've conceded.
That's exactly, you know, the point that in terms of messaging or the democratic messaging, it seems like any little thing, you know, I mean, you could say fact, and then blip. And then fact. And they'll focus on the blip, and that negates everything else you ever said. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's like the trans thing. It's like the argument is, the intelligentsia is trying to tell us that Democrats lost because of the trans issue. No one really cared about the trans issue. Yeah, the Republicans made it into a big thing, but it was a non-issue. I mean, it's like 0.01% of people. And mm-hmm. how many people even know someone who's trans? You and I might, but we are in a vast minority. Most people can't point to anyone who's actually trans.
Right.
Or worse yet, someone who's been in some way slighted by that, by a trans. Like, if you're a woman in sports, how many women in sports have actually competed mm-hmm. against a trans woman?
I don't know. Yeah, no.
It's like no one. No, it's of no consequence. It's sports. Okay, so occasionally
well,
it happens.
Swimmer,
occasionally a trans
swimmer.
Woman beats a woman because it doesn't even have to come down to specifics, but it's like it doesn't even matter because it's just sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a group of guys wearing all black and black masks and with no ID and guns force their way into your mm-hmm. home mm-hmm. and take you without any warrant, put you on a plane and send you all to El Salvadorian prison.
That's crazy.
From which there is apparently no return.
Apparently there's no return.
You know, we're getting off the track though, because Dan,
right.
he says,
I wanted to get back
what's the one weird trick you can use, Catherine?
The one weird trick?
Yeah, we're arguing against MAGA.
I don't know. I have three.
Oh, well, you don't argue. Well, I'll give you mine, then you can give me your three. It's Dan's, but you don't argue the point they're trying to make. You investigate why they have wound their own sense of self into that platform. Why have they wound themselves into that dogma? You have to try to deconstruct that. So don't ask them, well, why do you support Trump so much, you know? And that's, I think for me, that's a lot easier than, because I can deconstruct Trump much, much more easily and successfully than any of his stupid policies, because, well, his stupid policies hurt my brain thinking about how stupid they are.
Right. I think, yeah, we had the same point there, because McClellan says, like, you just can't throw it at them, you know, when you're looking at their contradictions. And the ask for them, though, is to ask them to think critically, I mean, about their sense of self and their worldview. Well, and their social identities and why it's important to them. Is that a big ask for them? Because I have asked people, they're just like, well, because the answers I've gotten have not been any kind of self-introspection back at me. It's like, well, because he leads, like, you know, power through strength. And
so that power through strength, though, the problem with that is that doesn't sound very Christian to me. And these people pretend to be Christian.
They're all like, Christians.
Is Jesus Christ power? He got nailed to a piece of wood. It literally, one of the things with crucifixion is it's brutal way to die, but it's also a humiliating way to die.
It is, yeah.
You could not take a savior, you could not take a leader, humiliate him more in the ancient world than crucifying him.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like it really aligns with, quote, their values, power through strength.
Well, a lot of it doesn't. I found this a very wonky and long and oddly organized Substack article called The Ultimate Guide to Adequately Dismantling Mega Arguments. And I couldn't get through it. But there were some, as I was skimming it, it was quite lengthy. There were some interesting points to that, you know, but it seems simpler, though, than when you're discussing it. A lot of these things I was looking for guidance online, it just seems like it's easier said than done.
Yeah. So that guide, I think it's worth looking at just to see the inner workings of a very rattled brain. Because it's, you may agree with some of the stuff, but it's presented in a way that is basically undigestible.
Right. It's so lengthy. I was just trying to pull. And there were a couple tidbits. But my point is, I don't know how to talk to MAGA anymore. So I think I'm just going to opt out of talking to MAGA.
Yeah, sometimes it's not up to you, though. But the point is, you know, you can't argue the facts. So, and even if you challenge them the way you were saying you would, to think critically, even if they don't respond to you then and there, you may have planted a seed. Because, you know, it's really hard if you're arguing with someone to turn around and say you were wrong.
Right.
But if they take the thought kernel back with them to their house or in a private moment, maybe they can start self-introspection. So even if you don't win the argument that day, maybe you've planted a seed where you can free these people from their dogma.
Right.
And that's what you're doing at the end of the day. You're freeing them from their own dogma.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You're doing them a favor. Just like taking everyone's money, you're doing, you know, we are doing God's work here.
We are doing God's work. Oh, gosh. If it was that easy, if that's easy.
I'm not sure which God it is. Might be Satan, but I don't know.
I don't know.
As long as I get paid, which I haven't been paid lately, so check into that.
Yeah, I know. So basically, you're saying just keep telling the truth.
Oh, that's all I can do. Lies really annoy me. As Merlin said, when a man lies, he murders some part of the world.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, the funny thing about that, so I don't remember when I first saw Excalibur. I think it was 1981 version of Excalibur. I don't know. I probably saw it in the 90s or maybe the late 80s. I don't remember. It's been decades. And for the longest time, that was like the one quote that I remember from the movie. And I never really understood why. And it took me like 20 years before I really got it, before I really understood, no, that wasn't metaphorical. He's like genuinely being honest about that. Because when you lie, you distort part of the world, which is basically killing it. You're covering it over. You're making it not real anymore. And that's basically killing it. So don't lie.
I like that. Yeah. Just accept that truth-telling is an expression of active resistance.
Yes. That sounds good. I'll take that.
Well, I got that from one of the articles.
That was from When a Nation Embraces a False Reality.
Correct.
Yeah, I got some nuggets out of that. Like, he's a witnessing professional, which sounds kind of silly, but, you know, you have to pay attention. It's like being an active listener. Just really pay attention to what is happening in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, the really damning one, little nugget he threw in there, kind of like casually rolling a grenade into a crowded office. He was talking about the mystical cult and how Hitler basically had the Germany wrapped up into a mystical cult of which he was the guru and the savior. And that sounded like he was a perfect analogy for Trump. Trump has created a mystical cult of Trumpers, and he is their guru and savior. They talk about him like he can do no wrong.
Unfortunately, that's true. It's scary. It's scary, you know, which brings me to scary, like the Alaskan Senator Murkowski. Did you see her quote yesterday when she was sitting there at a town hall? And she said that she was afraid because retribution is real.
That's not the first time we've heard that kind of stuff, though. And I just...
Yet then she votes like how she votes, right?
I want to push these people off a wall. Mm-hmm. Because if you say you're worried about how things might go, what are they going to say about me? What are they going to do about me? Well, then don't be a senator. If you don't have the courage to stand up and be a real senator, to stand up for this country, to take your oath of office seriously, then get out.
And there's nothing saying that she has to stay in the Republican Party. She's been kind of down on them for quite a while.
Yeah, if she's from Alaska, though, she's not going to get reelected unless she's a Republican.
Right. And maybe it's time to not get reelected. Maybe it's time to not worry about that. Maybe it's time to defend your country. She's not up for reelection till what, 28 anyway, isn't it? I mean, she's there for a while.
I don't know what her turnover is.
You know, she's there for a while. Like, just become an independent. Caucus with the Democrats. Talk to your buddy Susan Collins. Yeah. Have her do it too. You know, I mean, let's get some action here.
You just have to stop being afraid.
Just stop being afraid.
So get a little goddamn courage. Right. And if you're not, like I said, if you're not willing to do the job, then don't do the job. Don't show up to do the job. Don't ask for the job. Mm-hmm. You went out of your way for this job.
Yeah.
No one forced you to be a senator.
And for a long time. Anyway. For a long time. She's been there for a while.
Yeah.
So, wow. There's just so much going on, James. It's hard to digest this. Like I said last week, it's just hard to digest.
Always a lot to keep up with. So, Clayton Becker is a smart guy. So the thing with Clayton Becker is that he's a PhD student working on housing and urban development and stuff like that. Like how to make a city that's worth living in, that kind of stuff. And I would be listening to his, he's great at breaking stuff down and creating, he's the perfect TikToker. Mm-hmm. I would be listening to his stuff anyway, even if we didn't have Trump, because he'd be talking smart stuff about cities, which I find really interesting. And how to do it correctly. Instead, he's having to spend a lot of his time on Trump, and which he's also very good at. But I just wish he didn't have to talk about it so much. But he had a good post where he wraps these things up in 3 minutes. Uh-huh. And also this will be linked under Deeply Un-American, because that was the main thread of his piece, where he talks about why Trump is so deeply and MAGA is so deeply un-American. Mm-hmm. Because as we have mentioned already, we have a Maryland man who has taken, without a warrant, put on a plane and sent to an El Salvadorian prison. With no habeas corpus, no due process, the basic fundamental elements of our legal system. What kind of people do that, Catherine?
Fascists.
More generally speaking, was King James a fascist? He wasn't a fascist so much as he was a tyrant.
Tyrant, yes.
When we say deeply un-American, we're saying America was fundamentally based against tyrants. It was built to squash, crush, and destroy tyrants. That's the fundamental truth about America. Trump is a tyrant because Trump takes people out of their homes and with no judiciary proceedings puts them in jail.
These guys are also
trying to break the separation between church and state. Like, they're sending memos in the State Department about how, you know, do you see any people saying unchristian things? Well, let us know so we can punish them.
And there goes like the First Amendment.
Oh, well, then there's the First Amendment, and Trump is like not only going after colleges and universities, forcing them into only the speech that he wants, he's also going after NPR, PBS, the New York Times, and complaining. He has directed his Justice Department to look at people who are saying mean things about him. That's just nutballs. I mean, that is, again, he's a freaking tyrant. And this is if you think you're a patriot because you support Trump, you're the exact opposite of a patriot.
Good point.
You're not a patriot. You're a traitor because he's a tyrant and you're supporting a tyrant. And America is fundamentally anti-tyrannical.
Good point.
Boy, Catherine, it seems like I went on a rant today.
You went on a rant. Do we have time for like a half a rant?
Sub-rant away.
When you were talking about like people being deported with no due process, etc., you know, Tom Hartman, I thought, wrote a nice piece called "This is How Democracy Dies, One Man, One Cell, No Charges." It just opens up with the bang that April 14th basically was the day that democracy in our nation officially died. Do you believe that? I'm just curious.
I don't know if you can put a specific date on it. You can pick a date if you want, but it's been the whole tenure of, and it's only been three months or 4 months now, the tenure of the Trump administration tearing America apart as quickly as he possibly can.
I think he was putting it to that date because that was the date that the current president openly defied the Supreme Court and our founding documents. And as Hartman puts it, with the sneer. And his neo-fascist sycophants chuckled and giggled in the Oval Office. And I saw some of that on the old YouTube, and it was pretty sickening. It was pretty sickening to see this. And so, and I guess Hartman's article aside, what's concerning to me is it started out like we're only going to remove the worst of the worst, like the criminals, the absolutely foul people who come here and create havoc and ruin our society. And then it was like, it just keeps ramping up. You know, then it's like any undocumented, basically. And then it was anyone with a tattoo. And it's like anyone who's like naturalized. I mean, when, you know, then Trump's like talking about homegrowns. Where does it stop? I mean, is anyone safe when there's no due process?
No one is safe. If he has a police force that is willing to go and grab anyone off the street without due process, that's the whole point. Without due process, without the guarantee of due process, anybody can be grabbed off the street and done and have anything done to them. That is where the land of the free and the home of the brave no longer represents the United States. Because you are not free if someone can grab you off the street.
Right.
Before that, okay, it happens from time to time, but everybody who was involved in that, it took a long time for civil rights to become a thing, right? I mean, the black people have not had a great in the United States for a couple hundred years. But we keep trying to make it right. We keep trying to make up for past sins.
Past sins, past indiscretions.
But right now we have a guy who is tearing that up again at the very, very highest level. And that's, you know, generally the moral corrections for the country have come from up high, have come from the federal level. And now it's not. Now the opposite is happening. Now it's at the top cop, the president of the United States, because he runs the Justice Department, is breaking the laws and tearing them up and ignoring that they even exist. That's not a brave thing to do. No. He's a coward because he can't. The reason he's doing this is because he's trying to get rid of everybody who says no to him. He's trying to get rid of everybody who challenges him. Is it brave to do that? Isn't it brave to stand up and face the people who are challenging you? If you believed in your argument and your stance, wouldn't you stand up and face these people rather than trying to just send them to a different country?
Yeah, basically a death camp, a gulag, whatever you want to call it, in a different country. No exit. How's that different than a concentration camp? I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, I think we should just call them concentration camps.
Yeah, I think we should. I think. But when you were saying that, and in terms...
Catherine, do you know where Auschwitz was? Is?
In Poland, right?
It's not in Germany.
I know.
They exported them.
I know they did.
Because they didn't want to have it happen on their own soil. Just like Trump.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the similarities are stunning. But when you were saying about like confronting, you know, if you were a strong man, truly a strong man, not a strong man, how they want, but a strong man, just, you know, you would stand up to your bullies, to your naysayers, to your doubters, and go toe to toe with them. But what that leaves is an opportunity for the person who's not wanting to accept the responsibility or just wanting to push their ideas down everyone's throat. It presumes to some extent that they would be willing to change, to open their mind to a different...
Not necessarily.
I think it does. I mean, unless they're just like so ardent and so... I mean, I'm not sure, again... The fumes in this house are getting to me. They're laying tile. It's crazy. I'm having a hard time tracking. But like, to me, it would. I mean, if you want to cower away from it, then you take people off the street, you lock them up. If you want to have a dialogue for the betterment of the country, for humanity, the world, who's impacting the world with some of this stuff, to me, it seems like you would have to have just a nugget, a kernel open to a different idea, to ponder it. Go ahead, cut me off.
I see what you're getting now. We're thinking of two different things though. You're talking about cooperation to get to a better place. I don't know, like 30 or 40 years ago, the Republicans and the Democrats came together to compromise to fix stuff. Believe it or not, there was a time when we were destroying the ozone layer, which keeps us alive. They came together to pass regulations. Both parties came together to pass regulations to close that ozone layer hole. It's been closing ever since. We took off the CFCs, outlawed those, and you know everybody screamed and cried about, oh, air conditioning is not going to work anymore. Our air conditioning is more efficient now than it ever has been. So I think we got over it. And also there was this thing in the 80s called acid rain.
Oh, yeah.
Where literally acid was literally raining from the skies near industrial cities because it was coming down from the smokestack. So they figured out some ways to fix that. Again, both parties came together to create regulations to fix that. We don't have acid coming out of the sky anymore. However, that you know maybe we will soon now that everything's being deregulated.
Right.
But that's when they were working together. That's when you want a partner across the aisle to work together. There are other times, though, when you just have to beat the other guy and bury them. And that's what elections are for. You know, you have one winner. You don't have, like, there's no coordinated, you know, they don't share power. People who are up for presidential elections, you get one winner and one loser. And the loser goes home.
Yeah, there's no runner-up like in Miss America.
Right. You don't get anything for being runner-up. You're the first loser as a Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights.
Which is a horrible
Wasn't
movie.
It? It really was. Yes. It was hard to watch.
But he did say, Bobby, what was it?
I can't remember.
Ricky Bobby. Ricky Bobby. And then some guy says, like, well, come, I came in second. The second place is the first loser. Okay, I can't argue with
words,
that.
True words.
It might not be quite as wise as Merlin was saying, but it's up there.
Well, that was kind of just my rant.
Can you imagine Merlin saying, second place is the first loser?
I actually can.
Arthur. You have quite the imagination. Are you high?
I think, you know, this hopefully is the last day of this round. I still have to get the front room taken care of, but I'm not tiling it. But I don't remember the kind of the grinding and the concrete dust. Actually, like, my fire alarms went off and I didn't know why my fire alarms, another house thing, just since we're always updating on my angst here as a homeowner. I bought all new fire alarms and I was wondering why they were so effing expensive and they talk. And so there's this voice. I mean, I could have spent like $18 left.
For the love of God.
I just bought them because I was just, I didn't want, and I remember telling the guy, I don't want the one that talks to me. And then I went back in to Home, I didn't want to go to Home Depot. They're the only ones that had this particular brand that like was everything else. And so now they yell fire, fire. And it's just like ridiculous. But you know, the good thing is they have a 10-year lithium battery enclosed. I don't have to change those stinking batteries every year and deal with the beep, beep, beeps, knock on wood, but they work. I mean, I was, you know, I let my guy in and he started grinding. That sounded bad. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Relax.
Okay. He started grinding the concrete and then the alarms went off. So I just got up and made coffee, but we couldn't podcast earlier because the noise was outrageous.
That's a good response. You know, we're losing our country. Let's just make coffee.
I'm just trying to pull this house together. And
I do need to make better coffee.
Yeah,
though.
You do. And coffee went up, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care.
I don't care either. I'll just pay it because it is my one vice. It makes me happy.
And your dogs.
And my dogs, yeah. Anyway, what were you going to say? Did I interrupt your train of thought?
Nope.
Was this a heavy podcast?
It's just the way it's going now.
We're not going to go to El Salvador, are we?
Wait a minute. You think we're going to get shipped off to El Salvador?
Yeah, would we?
They can try. I'm going to punch them, though. My dog will eat them.
My dog will lick them.
And my cat's been starting to growl, too, now.
Oh, really?
Like, I was on the bed. I was taking a nap yesterday. I take naps. And someone came up to the front porch, and my cat was right next to me on the bed, and he growled. I was like,
nice.
I've never heard that before. And he did this. Wow. He was in the window. He was sitting in the window as the UPS guy came up this morning, and he was even louder today. He growled again. It's like, I don't know what's going on with this cat, but he is.
Is he sick?
He is stepping up. No, he's like, he doesn't like people on his property. So good luck, Ice. You got to get through an insane.
Got to get through my silver tabby first.
Got to get through an insane cat. He's orange.
My orange tabby. Okay.
And a mad dog.
Your dog's so cute, though.
She looks like a hellhound. You know that.
Yeah, she does, but she's
cute.
She's
pitch
her own
black
way.
And she's got those ears that stick up like a Doberman pinscher's, and she's got a head that's kind of a cross between like a blue heeler and a pit bull.
Yeah, she has that boxy kind of pit bull face.
You don't want to be on her bad side.
Right. And then you've got like the fuzzy white one that I live with here.
Oh, those little pieces of joy?
Yeah, this is all we got.
Yes, yes, pieces of joy. Anyway,
well, this was like an interesting pot. Maybe we should get, let's talk about something light. Let's talk about, do you want to talk about The Wiz?
The Wiz? No, I don't want to talk about The Wiz. I want to talk about Wicked.
No, not The Wiz. Oh, that was, I tried rewatching The Wiz. I couldn't.
Oh, Catherine, just whiz off.